As we break into the message this morning, go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Not a deep message theologically this morning, but I pray it changes our lives. I really do. That's what I have been praying. I was speaking to someone in the church after the service last Sunday morning when I preached on unity, urgency, and unction. And they gave me one of those, why don't we do this kind of a thing? And it wasn't a criticism, just, you know, boy, it'd be great to see this. And I said, thank you, brother. You have given me the message to continue next Sunday. So if the message goes well, praise God. If the message doesn't go well, blame Paul Green. By the way, you know, this last week we were celebrating, and again, like I've said before, I truly believe that Thanksgiving is about the most biblical holiday that we have in America. You know, the word holiday, I mean, most of you, if not all of you, know this. The word holiday comes from holy day, a day set apart, for godly things. And I suppose you have discovered as well that because more and more Americans are losing the God of heaven, not only in their hearts, but also in their minds, they're just leaving Him behind. Thanksgiving has become less and less about what we thank God for, how He moved in our nation, how He moved in our hearts when we trusted Him as Savior. And now, this last Thursday, it was used by Macy's to introduce more perversion. I'm not even going to go into it. And it just kind of broke my heart. Can I encourage us to all do something? Let's swim against the tide. Amen? The world is going this way. Our God is over here. Let's go that way. And let's not be ashamed. Amen? Heavenly Father, as we speak of our God this morning, I pray that You'd, Lord, guide us. Again, not, Lord, as You know, it's not something very deep, but yet I pray that it makes a difference in my life. I pray that it makes a difference in our lives. May it make a difference in the fellowship that is called Faith Baptist Tabernacle. So, Lord, we come to You. You know the hearts. I don't. You do. You know our need, and You know the disposition of our wills, our very character. You know what it is that we will be desiring when we leave this place and what we ought to desire. There is a reality that sometimes gets a little fuzzy in us, Lord. We don't see beyond as Peter spoke of in the chapter that we are studying at night. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Lord, help us to grow so that our future, our eternal destiny, is crystal clear as it can be in this life. And so, Lord, for the hungry hearts that are in this building, I pray, God, that You would fill them. We open our mouths as You commanded, that You may fill us. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. So last Sunday, we looked at unity, urgency, and unction. in the local church, in our individual lives. There's a unity that is needed among God's people, not cookie-cutter Christianity, but the fact that we are all in Him. There is no competition here, and there ought not be, because we do not reward each other. I do not reward you. Our reward is in heaven. Amen? And so, if our reward is in heaven, we need to do it according to heaven. We need to live as He would have us live. And it's amazing what can happen when God gets a control of human hearts, how we can live in harmony, rejoicing in Him. You see, these kind of things take place when God takes charge. I want to show you something. First off, in starting off in our message this morning, speaking of our God, look at verse 13, if you would. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, the phrase "Son of Man" was one that Jesus liked to use about Himself. But now He's talking to His disciples. They have been together for some time now. And He wants, through this conversation, He wants to bring something up that we'll be able to go into the Scripture that we can recognize and we can rejoice in. But right now they're playing it out. So He and His disciples are there. My wife and I were there when we were in Israel. And there was a place there at Caesarea Philippi that was literally known as the gates of hell. Really what He was talking more about was death. Death that's not only the physical death, but also eternal separation from God. But He asks this question, "Whom do men say that I am?" Now, people have been speculating. By the way, there are people today that are speculating. You know, who really is Christ? These kooky Christians, is He really who they say He is? Maybe not. There's a lot of people that are like that. There were people like that back then. And so, they begin to answer. Verse 14, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." You can read in the Scripture some things that were said of Him. Not everybody believed that Jesus was a great man. There were those in the book of Mark that said, he's just a carpenter. John 9, he's a sinner. John 8, he's an illegitimate child. John 10, he's a madman. Matthew 12, he's a devil. When you read this, you get to thinking about, you know, what are some of the people saying today? Maybe as you are on your way, like I do when I go to church, I wind up passing different places that have different ideas about God. For instance, I pass what is called a Kingdom Hall there on Wallerga. They believe that Jesus was an Michael the Archangel. For some reason, they haven't read the Bible without their headquarters telling them what the Bible says. Aren't you glad that you can take the Bible and have the Holy Spirit guide you? You can hand the Bible to someone and tell them two things. Number one, the Bible interprets itself. Number two, the author will speak to you if you ask him. You can tell them that. Then, of course, there's the Mormons. They believe that Jesus is our elder brother, and oh, by the way, so is Satan. And he and Jesus are spirit brothers. I've got news for them. That's not my God. Satan is a fallen angel, Lucifer, who is going to spend eternity in hell because of what he has done. My God shall reign. He is God come in the flesh. He is Jesus Christ. There's Islam. They say that Jesus was no more than a mortal whom Allah favored. And oh, by the way, Allah had no children, so Jesus is not God. Then there's the Jews. By the way, Len mentioned about the Jews. You know, some of the most wicked people on earth today are Jewish people. I mean some of the most vile. They have pumped our nation full of crude, wicked, horrible things because they have turned their back on God. They're going to see Him someday. You read about Jesus, what they've said in the Talmud. When it came to Mary, she who was the descendant of princes and governors, played the harlot with carpenters. That's what they thought about Mary. Mary, the hairdresser, literally the hairdresser, had sexual relations with many men. Jesus was executed because he practiced sorcery. He is in hell right now, being boiled in hot excrement. This is the Talmud. This is what they're being taught today. This is how Jewish people feel today. Many do about Christ. The Jewish Encyclopedia pictures Jesus as blind in one eye and lame in one foot. I am so glad that there are Jews that have found their Messiah. I'm glad I found him. Because, by the way, there's a lot of wicked and crude and horrible Irishmen and Scotsmen that are around as well. My background, you know, especially guys that'll wear a kilt, especially to a wedding. Peter, I love you, buddy. We'll stop right there. I can't go too far. His brother is here and his dad. So I've got to be careful how far backwards I go in this. Let us move on. But you know, can you do this? Every time you hear somebody speak about the Jews, Satan loves to stir things up. Folks, they need their Messiah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Let's continue, verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, this is where we get into some really interesting talk here. You know, if we're not careful, we can just parrot what other people say. Our children can wind up just mimicking what they've heard at church when the fact of the matter is it hasn't gone from the head to the heart. I want to show you something that we ought to all desire, not only for ourselves, but for our children, each other and their children. Watch this. But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now catch this. This fisherman, this crude, and this man that comes from a crude background, he saw something that the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees did not even see. And why was that? Because all of a sudden he went to school? I mean, did he wind up getting with those that were trying to get him to realize something? Watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see why we want God to be at work in here? You know, I could preach a message that speaks to everyone and use the flowing language and try to beat it into you what you're supposed to think. What I think you're supposed to think. You know what we want here? We want God, the Holy Spirit at work, don't we? I mean, listen, I would just as soon the Lord interrupt me in your heart and life and say, listen, there's been something I've been trying to tell you. Or while we're reading this, you know, so many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're reading a passage, and all of a sudden you recognize it isn't the preacher, it's not the evangelist, it's not the Sunday school teacher that's speaking. God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to get a hold of my heart. There came a time with Peter that he's looking at Christ and he's hearing him teach. And God the Father says, let me tell you who that is. Folks, that's what we desire. In fact, let's take that thought a little bit further. Let's go to the next verse. Look at verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. He's doing a little word game here, but we're not going to get into that. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Again, God the Father revealed something to Peter that the scribes and Pharisees are not seeing. Christ also reveals something here that sometimes we forget, we do not see. Because the reason why we want the Holy Spirit working here is the fact that we don't build the church, He does. Now, that's one of those let that sink in moment. You know, when we think of building the church, we think of maybe, you know, some of us maybe think of programs and special things and all that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we've got to remember this. When we walk through these doors, He who is our Savior is the one that ought to be forefront in our minds and in our hearts, because He has something He wants to do. It's not just a thing of, hey, you know, bring a visitor next week and Brother Whiteside will swallow a goldfish. Although I'd give about 10 bucks right now to see that happen. That'd be great, wouldn't you? All in favor, say amen. All right, tonight, 6 o'clock, we're having an interesting meal. Roger is looking at Cheryl and saying, did Pastor have his medicine? I just want you to know I took double a dose, you know, just now. But listen to this. Listen to this. What we've learned just at face value is that God the Father reveals God the Son to us. He does it through His Word now, as the Spirit speaks. And remember, we understand the Holy Spirit is here. If we are in Christ, He is here. But not only does He reveal to us who Jesus is, He reveals to us what Jesus does. It's amazing what we can think about when it comes to the local fellowship. We can wind up declaring, okay, this is a church. You know, you can get a lot of people together in the name of Jesus and you don't have a church, you've just got a crowd. What is this church? Well, in the book of Ephesians, if you want to turn there, it's a familiar passage. Paul shares with the church at Ephesus in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, literally the perfecting of the saints for ministering work, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is what we have. How many of you are born again? You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord has you here. This is our fellowship. This is where we gather. And He has a desire to use an instrument so that all of His instruments understand they're built up a little bit more. They're encouraged a little bit more for the work of the ministry, for the giving of the gospel, for giving to that which goes around the world and also around the corner. This is what He's telling us. It's not us that builds the church. He does. What does he do with us? He uses us as his co-laborers. His co-laborers. But in order for that to happen, somebody has to surrender somebody's will. We're not looking for the Lord to surrender his will to us, are we? We need to surrender our wills to him. Now, with that in mind, can we transition to another book? I want us to go one book back. We're going to go from the first book in the New Testament to the last book in the Old Testament. Go to Malachi, would you please? I want to give you a little bit of a background here, just quickly. Malachi is next to the last of the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist is actually the last one. What took place here? The Jews had sinned again against God, and for that reason, Israel, then Judah, was carried off into captivity. They were brought back years later under men such as Ezra and Nehemiah. There was work that was done. Haggai and Zechariah were sent to reprove the people for denying to build the temple and so on and so forth. Then Malachi was sent to reprove them for the neglect of it when it was built. The temple is rebuilt, but they're not using it. They had gone from idol worship to apathy. Basically, there are four things that happen here before we get to the text that I want to get us to. There's four things that Malachi points out, God points out through Malachi, what Israel has done. Number one, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, they did something that we often do. They doubted his love. Look at verse 2, Malachi 1. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? By the way, I don't know how many of you have ever read the book of Malachi, but I'm telling you, when you get in there and you realize that there are people literally arguing with God through a prophet, it's like, are you kidding me? God, through the prophet, says, I love you. And they say, no, you don't. Where have you loved us? Well, then he goes on to explain, didn't I choose you over Esau? But again, that's not good enough. Not only that, they despised his name. Look at verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? The priests haven't been honoring God's name. They were taking the best for themselves. Their religion turned into a racket. They were misusing and abusing that which God had given to them that was so holy. They didn't bring the best for sacrifice. The people were fed up with it, so everything started just deflating. Look at verse 11. From the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, ah, the table of the Lord is contemptible, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, it's contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. By the way, has your Christianity ever become weary? Ah, yeah, I gotta do this again. Lord, are you really expecting this of me? You know what? That's our flesh talking. And they're thriving in it in this time. And ye have snuffed at it. Verse 13 again, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn and the lame and the sick, Thus she brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? Saith the Lord. Now stop and think about this. Can you imagine living in such a time as this? Well, we kind of do. You know, you've got some people where God isn't good enough, so we're going to bring in some crazy entertainment. We're going to excite people. I was talking to somebody, I was witnessing to a lady this last week over at Home Depot. And she says, I've got to have the entertainment. I've got to have that rock and roll music. You know, I don't need that. I'm telling you, we can sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and my heart is stirred. Amen? I don't need Dropkick Me Jesus through the goalposts of life. I just don't need that. And moving on, the Lord uses Malachi to say, you know something, there's something else that you've done. You've defiled God's covenant. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. This isn't Malachi talking. This is the God of heaven. And they're still arguing. That's crazy. Look at verse 17. It's gotten to this point. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Does God really care? You know, somebody can go out. This reminds us of Asaph in Psalm 73. He's talking about people. You know, don't people know what's going on? Don't they understand? Doesn't God understand? By the way, God understands. Amen? God understands. But there are some people that they just go, that's it. You know, where's God? This it's a joke. I actually heard a pastor say that, speaking to another pastor. He had gotten so weary, he looked at this man and said, it's just all a game, isn't it? Can I ask you something? Is your biblical Christianity that cheap? I hope and pray not, amen? Now, by the way, let me encourage you in something. There are times that Satan can really have a heyday with us. We can wind up wondering, you know, which end is up? God always knows which end is up, and he doesn't play gotcha games. He doesn't do it. But here are some people, because how the priests had been acting, they got to following, and now it's just, you know, the temple is built. They had joy in time past, but now there's nothing. You know, I look around at what's happening in our nation, and I'm wondering, Lord, can anything happen that can turn the corner? And the fact of the matter is, there is. There is. Look at chapter 3. They disobeyed his word. Even to the point when Jesus was here on earth, he tried to correct them and they hated him for it. Look at verse 13 in Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, or that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. This is how bad it's gotten. Now, folks, again, you know, we read this, and in reading it on the page, it's like, wow, I'm glad that's not me. that can be us. Listen, if all we give God in a week is 1 hour on Sunday morning, that is not pleasing to Him. He bought us completely, lock, stock, barrel. Can somebody say amen? He is our Savior. We don't, you know, remember when prices were cheaper for gas? A whole lot cheaper. We had a tough time. My dad had his own plumbing company there in L.A., but there was something that somebody else did. I won't go into it. It cost Dad a lot. In fact, it cost Dad the plumbing company. Phillips and Rogers Plumbing Contractors was no more. There were tough times. We lost our house. We lost one of the plumbing trucks. In fact, the other plumbing truck wound up becoming our family vehicle. All four of us would cram into a 1963 three-quarter ton Dodge, four-speed granny, 25 slant six. Learned how to drive in that thing. I loved it. But things were kind of tough. There were times we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. And Mom, when the vehicles were low, say, go out and get a dollar's worth of gas. How many of you, somebody ever sent you out for a dollar's worth of gas? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Go get a dollar's worth of gas. Now you pull the trigger, 2 seconds later, you let it go, put it in because you've got a dollar's worth of gas. I read a prose one time, not a poem, but a prose. I'll have $3 worth of God, please. Let's not be like that. Do you realize what your salvation has done? In the midst of all of this, there are so many that find themselves in the incredible place of arguing with the God of heaven, except it wasn't everybody. Look at verse 16. First of all, the righteous, there are people that weren't going along with this. They respond. They're looking around and they're going, do you realize what you're saying? They're listening to Malachi. The Lord is using him. Is anybody else listening? Do you realize who he's talking from? Do you realize who our God is? Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord. Now, who was this? These are people that are absolutely astounded when they see others speaking against the Lord like this. They are so heartbroken when they see the sin. They recognize what's going on. Then they that feared the Lord. Can I ask you a question? In this nation today, what percentage do you think, honestly, truthfully, fear the Lord? 30%? How many say lower? 20%? How many say lower? We got a problem. Lower than 10%? Ask a question. Why is God keeping this nation around? I don't know. But I do know this, we have an opportunity. Then they that feared the Lord, they spoke out of their character. Somewhere there was someone that when the Word of God was opened, they took it seriously. Do you hear what I'm saying? That when the priest opened the law, that's God's law. Just like today, when the Word of God is open, that's not man talking, that's God talking. Amen? In their character, they responded, but also, watch this, in their companionship. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now, let me make one thing clear. The Christian life is lived not by popular consent, but by personal conviction. But those that fear the Lord know who the others are that fear the Lord. When I was a youth pastor, even in Christian school, but especially when we would take kids and there'd be between 200 and 400 kids at Christian camp, and we knew this because those of us who had been Christians when we were teenagers, we saw the same thing happen with us. But it was amazing when you got even up to 400 kids together at a Christian camp in 24 hours, the spiritual have found the spiritual. The rebels have found the rebels. I mean, they just gravitate. They're just something that just goes out. By the way, it can be the same thing with adults, can't it? Now, I hope and pray that what we're about to do, it starts to bring some things together. Remember what we read in Matthew 16? Who builds the church? Who builds the church? Christ does. Who reveals to mankind? God the Father does. Now, we're going to do one of two things. We're either going to rebel against it, like the majority in Malachi, or we're going to hear some things. We're going to absorb some things from God's Word, and we're going to fear Him. And it's not going to be just evident on Sunday morning. It's going to be evident on Tuesday afternoon and Thursday night, when the television's on. You see, they spake often one to another. But look what else happens. They responded, and so did God. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord. Watch this. Not only feared the Lord, but that thought on His name. I want to ask you just a few questions here, real quick. Excuse me. What has God the Father taught you about God the Son? Number two, has what God revealed to you about the Son, has it helped build the church in and through you? Not a program, but has it helped build the church in you and through you? Number three, is it your desire, your honest, God-given desire to see Christ build His church? We're talking about people getting the gospel and responding and being encouraged in it. Let me ask you another one, kind of out of Malachi. In the church, do you sometimes think like the whiners? Not the winos, the whiners. Or do we think like the righteous? Do you think like those who feared the Lord and thought on His name? Not just on Sunday morning, but on Tuesday afternoon and Thursday night and Saturday morning. Are you willing, no matter how unable you may feel, Are you willing, no matter how unable you may feel, to share with others the work and wonder of God in your life? I understand what people say. I understand that people say that, you know what, there's some people, they find it easier to get in front of others, and I suppose that's true. But boy, I tell you what, I just don't like getting in front of people. But you know, you're in front of people all the time. You don't hide, you're here. Can I ask you this? Has God done anything in your life? You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? Amen. How many of you, in the last month, God has answered a prayer in your life? Raise your hand. Amen. How many of you, God has revealed something from His Word? You might have even known it before, but the fact of the matter is, boy, the Lord showed you something in His Word that so spoke to your heart, and you know it could be an encouragement to others. Raise your hand. I tell you, there's a verse that God has spoken to me, and I want to preach it soon. It'll be on a Sunday night. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, da-da-da-da. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The Lord has just been showing me that more and more how I think is so very important, even in the downtime. Is there a person that could come to this microphone this morning and not give a bragamony? You know what a bragamony is. It's something that you share that makes you look good. First of all, being looking good is getting harder for a lot of us around here. I know this. I look in the mirror and I've got a challenge. Why do you think I grew a beard? I'm hiding my face. But is there anybody here? You would say this morning, you know something? I could take 2 minutes and I could tell the church this morning, boy, God sure blessed. God did something in my life. 2 minutes. Is there anybody like that? Now, I understand. I just sprung this on you. But you know, we need to hear from each other what God is doing, don't we? Amen? That's what we're going to hear tonight. I'm not preaching the message. You are. Tonight. 2 minutes. This is what God has done. Now, if that keeps you from coming, then you need to talk to the Lord about that because that's wrong. You know, what God orders, He enables. Amen? By the way, if you think that this kind of thing comes easy to me, why do you think in time past I was having panic attacks? Getting in front of you people isn't easy. And I'm not trying to be funny. But, well, maybe a little bit funny. But I, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes it's just, my wife says, you make it look so easy. Are you kidding me? Brad. Amen. It's the truth. So, you know something? Can I beg of you? If God has answered a prayer, tell us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If God has freed you from sin, if He's helped you in something like that, now, that's not the kind of thing we don't want, you know, the details. Some people have been looking at my wife, you know. She has a bruise on her chin. Boy, our preacher, he thinks he's so good. Number one, it wasn't me. What's that? Of course I'd say that. But you know, see, let's look back. In Matthew 16, God revealed something to a man by the name of Peter. And then, using that situation, Christ revealed something to us all. I will build my church. Lord Jesus, build this church. I'm not talking about numbers. God added to the Lord daily such as should be saved, the book of Acts. What we need to do is be serious about our own Christian walk. Which, oh, by the way, in Malachi, then they that feared the Lord, they spoke often one to another. Hey, John, good to see you, brother. I love you. I'm glad you're feeling better. Amen. You know, it's good to be with God, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what anybody can do. Any of us. Yeah, it takes me out of my comfort zone. You got to try coming up here. Looking at some of you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I was talking about your husband. And, you know, the one up there. Okay, I'm waiting for it. Come on. You know, you give a guy a key on a computer and he just, you know. We're going to have an invitation and we're all going to look at Brother Fogel and expect him to come. So Brother Green, thank you. Because Brother Paul Green has, you know, let's hear from other people, and he's right. And again, he wasn't doing it out of criticism. But is God doing something in people's lives? Praise God, I hope and pray so. So you know what? Tonight at 6 o'clock, next door, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. By the way, share your Christian walk with others. Even if you're having difficulty. Even if you're having a tough time. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.